Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Just when it seems as if Liberia and Guinea in Western Africa have been able to get serious Ebola outbreaks under control, the World Health Organization says Sierra Leone is going in the opposite direction, that the spread of the deadly virus there is intense, with 168 new cases in 1 week in Freetown alone. Part of the problem, Sierra Leone has been able to isolate only 13% of the patients, compared to 82% in Guinea. Much of the increase has been in the west and north of the country, closing schools, slowing down life in the capital of Freetown, one of the most affected areas. So far, more than 6,000 people have contracted the disease in Sierra Leone. More than 1,200 have died. What will it take to get the disease under control? NPR's Nurit Eisenman is in Freetown. And Nurit, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Hi, Robin.
Big question. Why are cases of Ebola growing in Sierra Leone? We read of other countries getting control of their outbreaks. What's different in Sierra Leone?
Well, a big issue here is that over the last several weeks, the outbreak has moved from the area where it first began. That was this rural area to the east that borders Liberia and Guinea. And now it's moved to the capital of Sierra Leone and some northern districts to the north of that capital. And it's not a complete surprise that it's moved there. There had been recognition among the government and international groups that this could happen and that they would need to stand up some treatment centers for people in these new areas. But unfortunately, that did not happen fast enough. So while the outbreak has really diminished in that original area where it started in Sierra Leone, and which does have sufficient treatment centers and labs to deal with it, it's now on the upswing in a part of the country that really just is not fully prepared. And it reminds me, I was in the capital of Liberia, Monrovia, in late August when the outbreak was really surging there and where it had really outpaced the response. And I feel like this is happening all over again in Sierra Leone, in the capital of Sierra Leone and its surrounding areas.
Well, that is a terrible thing to hear because we remember the outbreak when it began in Liberia and we remember, you know, bodies in the streets. What does it look and feel like there?
It's definitely palpable. You certainly still see people on the streets going about their daily business, petty traders selling food and clothes and people doing their shopping. But it's a pale version of the bustle that you would have normally seen before the outbreak. You know, this is a beachside city. There's lots of bars and little restaurants and hangout spots along the beach that would normally be just a buzz with activity. And all that's ended. There's a nighttime curfew. People don't really have the economic means to go out as well. There's fewer weddings. There are fewer gatherings. School has been suspended for months now, so people are kind of stuck at home. And then you see a lot of people who are, you know, worried about their health and unable to get care at regular health centers because a lot of those places have suspended their activities because of the threat from Ebola.
And what about healthcare workers? We recently had the healthcare worker who actually lived in the United States but was from Sierra Leone and contracted Ebola there. He came back to the U.S., but he could not be saved. It was too late. And we're hearing about so many healthcare workers who've died in Sierra Leone.
Yeah, just after Dr. Martin Salia died, a seventh doctor died literally the next day. It's very, very scary work. And part of the problem is that even if you're not a doctor or a nurse who is officially treating Ebola patients, this is a disease that whose symptoms present like a lot of other, you know, diseases. And so someone might come in and tell you that they have malaria, or a woman may come in who's pregnant and about to deliver. And it's not immediately obvious that that person has Ebola. And so these workers in just regular healthcare are potentially being exposed.
I just can't be helping this country to have all these, you know, doctors taken away. I mean, just what a hard hit. But you recently went to a little village battling Ebola and visited a nearby community health center. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it was a very eye-opening and unfortunately sobering visit because this was a village where just one case, a little four-year-old boy, sparked a whole chain of infections. He lived in a different village And he was feeling ill, and so he was sent to the village that I visited to stay with his grandmother so that she could take care of him. And he very quickly developed very serious symptoms, vomiting and diarrhea and even, like, bloody nose. And the other villagers, you know, to their credit, they're aware of Ebola, and they said, this is really dangerous. You need to send him back. But it was too late. The grandmother started to come down with symptoms, and an ambulance was sent for her, and she refused it. She said, I'd rather die at home, and then she literally died that moment at home. Then yet another person in the village started to show symptoms, and this was a traditional healer, an herbalist, who had treated that four-year-old boy. And an ambulance came for her, and at first she ran away, but then the next day, the day that I actually came to the village, she had decided to go and seek care. And the really sad thing was, when she went for care, there aren't enough treatment centers. So what they say is, if you're, quote unquote, a wet case, which means you're really vomiting and you have diarrhea, then they may send you on to a proper holding center or even a treatment center. But if you're a dry case, by which they mean you're in the early stages, you have a fever, you have body aches, which was the state that this woman was in, then they say, okay, go to this community care center that they've set up. And it's basically just sort of a makeshift center, you know, with an isolation area with tarp and workers who put on protective gear to deliver food and a few medications, but very minor. It's not really proper care. And the idea is that those people have to wait to get their test results. And if they're positive for Ebola, then they'll get treatment. Well, this woman, when I went to see her, she was already looking really, really ill. And while I was talking to her, she had some kind of, it seemed like a neurological seizure almost. Her body went rigid. Her eyes just froze for several seconds. She was just completely oblivious to her surroundings, unreachable. She snapped out of it. We, of course, immediately said we should end this interview. This woman needs to lie down. She looked like she was going to collapse. And we found out just, you know, 2 days later that she had died.
Mm. What happens now? What's the plan to get this under control?
Well, the key is really going to be increasing the number of labs so that they can test people more quickly and get the results more quickly, increasing the number of treatment facilities so people who have this illness can get to care, can be isolated from their neighbors and their family and get actual supportive care. And there are certainly a lot of treatment centers being built, and there will be more coming online in the coming weeks. So there's hope in that. That said, the fear and the worry is that Ebola is a disease that increases exponentially. One person infects two people. Those two people each infect two or three more people. And if the number of beds does not quickly meet the demand, even the response that's sort of being planned down the line can be outpaced by the disease. So that's what we're really going to be watching, is to see whether those new beds and those new treatment centers that come online, will they be sufficient to meet the need?
That's Nurit Eisenman, NPR's global health and development correspondent. She's in Freetown, Sierra Leone. Nurit, thank you.
You're welcome, Robin.
Well, we mentioned Ebola in neighboring Guinea. This frightening note: a taxi working for the Guinea Red Cross was robbed, stolen a container holding blood believed to be infected with Ebola. Authorities are asking the thieves to return it.